This is Living the RV Dream, episode 49 for Friday, March 23rd, 2017.
I'm riding with my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Well, hello, happy campers. Hello, everybody. Happy Friday and welcome to another episode of Living the RV Dream. If it is your first time here, my name is Robert Morales. Not a full-timer yet, not quite, but we tow a short travel trailer, 19-footer, and we're part-timing. I'm a full-time YouTuber. I do YouTube full-time, but just... part-time here in the RV, living the RV dream. And by the way, today I am broadcasting live on Facebook, this as I am recording here. So whoever watches this live on Facebook is going to see all the outtakes. Anyways, I have a little bit of a cold, so if my voice sounds a little different, that's what it is. You know, probably I got a cold last weekend at Bahia Honda State Park. I'm going to talk about Bahia Honda in a little bit. But first, I want to talk about the video that is going to come out this Sunday on my YouTube channel. My YouTube channel, Traveling Robert. You got to check it out. And I called it a dystopian California, because I went to all these places in California that are abandoned, and to be honest, not a very healthy environment, because there's all the contamination from all the toxicity from the Salton Sea. So I went to the Salton Sea, I went to Bombay Beach and the Slab City, also known as the last free place in America. But as a free place, you get what you pay for, and I don't think most people would really want to live there. You know, there's trash everywhere, and the few places where people could dump and get water and stuff like that, they're disappearing. So a lot of people are just dumping their black water tank, you know, on the ground. It's really not a healthy place to be at. So that's the video that is gonna be coming out this Sunday. By the way, last weekend I goofed and I released the video on Saturday, just because, you know, I'm a little bit of a goofball sometimes. I would like to thank the three patrons. We have three new patrons here on the channel. I got a $5 pledge from Jimmy Riley, a $1 pledge from Bruce Moore, and the $1 pledge from Mr. Gaminger. And I really, really want to thank the people who have chosen to support the work that I do through Patreon. Also, JD, who sent me a check, which is even better, because Patreon doesn't get a commission from that. But if you would like to add your name to this list, it's patreon.com/travelingrobert. I'll put a link in the show notes. And now for our mail. We have a bunch of mail, but first I'm going to play you a voicemail that I got through the SpeakPipe app. You know, when you click send voicemail on travelingrobert.com, and I'll play that right now.
Hello, Robert.
Hi, Robert. We love watching you. I love your happy little song.
We're watching your quartzite trip right now. And we're camping. We're in Illinois.
We're at Rend Lake. We're heading to St. Andrews in Panama City next Friday.
And we enjoy your show. We watch you all the time. This is the first time we've sent you a message. Safe camping.
Everybody seems to be...
Mm-hmm. Well, we can listen to how stupid we sound.
Okay, thank you so much, Ken and Sue, for that message. And happy camping to you as well. And I've got a bunch of emails and comments here on the blog. So I'm going to begin with Jacob. Hello from Iowa. I have been watching you for several months now and love what you are doing. We are publishers of an aviation magazine and will be promoting it at the upcoming Sun and Fun Fly in Okay, it's flysnf.org, located in Lakeland, Florida, April 10th through 15th, 2018. I wanted to make you aware of the event as it is the second largest aviation event of its kind in the U.S. And more importantly, on top of all the aviation, there's a lot of camping and RVing. I also help promote the Flying Musicians Association, which are hosting jam sessions you could participate in throughout the show. Just thought of another Florida destination to you. Kind regards, Jacob. And thank you so much for this email, Jacob. And I might do it. I it's not written in stone yet, but I have it penciled in my calendar, a trip going north. Into Kentucky in mid-April. I'm going to be traveling with my mom. You know, she wants to visit her half of the family who lives in Louisville, Kentucky. And she was talking about, you know, airfares and stuff. There are very few direct flights from Miami to Louisville. So we might make it a road trip, you know, like a 10-day long road trip, you know, 3 days on the way there, a couple of days in Louisville, and then 3 days on the way back. I'm visiting a couple of things on the way. So that might happen. And if that happens, I'm going to get in touch with you because it will be cool to stop one day at the air show on the way north. Okay, I've got another message here from Mark. Just listened to episode 48 and you mentioned that you were looking for WordPress help. I used to use WordPress, GoDaddy, and another company that I do not remember the name. I found them difficult to use because I do not know to code web pages. Have you considered a different service? I moved to Squarespace and love it. You can sign up for a free trial. The cost is only $96 per year. It can be more more depending on how many pages do you need. It might be worth a look. Squarespace has a lot of themes to choose from and they're all editable. Not edible, but editable. Keep up the good work. Thank you so much. And yeah, I've heard of Squarespace before. And I might go that way. I'm going to do some further research. But I like WordPress. I like WordPress and I use it in conjunction with GoDaddy. And actually, I think I'm paying a little more than $96 per year. But the thing with WordPress, there's a very good plugin for the podcast. I use Blueberry and there's the PodPress, I think it's called the plugin. I mean, it's something like 25% of the World Wide Web nowadays runs on WordPress. So there's a lot of plugins, but I'm going to look into Squarespace for sure because it might work out better for me, actually. And this is Andy from the UK. Hi, Robert. I've been curious about something for a long time now. I know what boondocking is, RV camping without any power or water waste hookups. But where did the term boondocking come from? Actually, this is a different comment from somebody else. This is not from Andy. I copied and pasted it, and I didn't copy who it was from, but it was a comment on the blog. And the term boondocks means like basically in the middle of nowhere, you know, something away from civilization. But I have the Wikipedia definition here, and it says boondocks is an American expression that stems from the Tagalog word boondock. Tagalog, I think that's the language that they speak in the Philippines, right? Which means mountain. It originally referred to as a remote rural area, but now it is often applied to an out-of-the-way city or town considered backwards or unsophisticated. And it can also designate a mountain. So that's the boondocks. And that's, I believe, where boondocking comes from. But nowadays, you know, so some people call boondocking staying at Walmart. So, and there's a lot of debate, a lot of controversy about really what is boondocking, what is dry camping, what is blacktop camping or urban camping or stealth camping. You know, there's so many terms nowadays. But, yeah. Okay, this is the one from Andy in the UK. Hi, I find your travels and commentary brilliant. I have been reading about English woman Isabella Bird, who traveled from San Francisco across the Rockies to Colorado solo in 1873 and made it to Estes Park and beyond. Have you thought about following her trail? She chronicled her adventure in a lady's life in the Rocky Mountains, which included her friendship with Rocky Mountain Jim and their dangerous summit of Long's Peak. And very, very good question, because this is something I have planned. And by the way, I did download this book right after reading the comment. It's only $1 in Amazon Kindle. So I say, yeah, I might as well. I'll read it when I have a chance. But there are several books that I want to follow, you know, the journeys. The first one, whenever I start full-time, you know, or longer-term timing in the RV, if that's even a term, and I would like to, I would prefer to do it in a motorized, not towing the trailer, because it would involve some rather, you know, narrow roads and switchbacks and stuff. It's Blue Highways. I want to follow the path of the book Blue Highways, and there's a bunch of other books also that I want to do. Travels with Charlie. And a bunch of Bill Bryson books too. That's the plan, and follow those books, especially like Blue Highways was written in the 70s, and it would be good to compare what the book says and how it looks nowadays. So that's something that it's in the plans for sure. It might take me a couple of years to reach the point where I can follow these famous travel books. Okay, Tyson Craig says, hello, Robert from Chile, London, Ontario. Yeah, I was going to say London, England is probably Chile as well. London, Ontario, I just received my free MyRV stickers on the mail. Thank you. Our family loves your videos and like the productions. Most people just seem to use whatever production music they can find. I often hear my two sons, age 7 and 3, singing Driving to the West or riding in my RV. Those songs are hard to get out of your head. We have a 23 Vista Cruiser 23 BHS and can't wait until the weather warms up so we can get it out of storage. We have some major trips planned this year, including a trip to Fort Wilderness at Disney, Northern Michigan, and perhaps Colorado in the fall. We discovered Camp Golf in Destin, Florida through your videos, and we'll be spending a couple of nights there on the way to Orlando to see if we want to spend a week there at some point. The stickers will find pride of place in the Vista Cruiser alongside our states and provinces maps, currently standing at 5 provinces and 11 states. Thank you for what you do, and please keep it coming. And, well, that's great. Camp Golf, I think, is one of those bucket list destinations. It's prohibitively expensive. I mean, it's especially if you can get one of those oceanfront sites, it ends up being over $200 a night. And then you have to pay for the honey wagon service if you want to dump, you know, because they don't have a sewer. Those sites on the water. But it is, it's Destin. It's, in my opinion, is the best beach in the United States. You know, the best beach north of the Caribbean, for sure. And let me know how you got that reservation in Fort Wilderness, Orlando, because I've been trying, and I always end up in Lake Louisa in Claremont, Florida, just a few miles to the west, because it's always booked. I mean, I've been trying it on the weekends. Maybe if you try it on a weekday with you know, way ahead of time, you know, it's easier. Anyway, John Stepien writes, hi, Robert. I absolutely love your show. You do a professional job producing them, and your music is great. I look forward to more adventures. You may want to consider the Adirondacks and the Finger Lakes areas in upstate New York. Very different from New York City. I bet, yeah, I think all I've heard is upstate New York is a totally different state from New York City, which is just, well, like the southeastern tip of the state. And I can't wait to visit upstate New York. I also want to visit Rochester and Buffalo, of course. But maybe as part of my New England road trip that I have planned for the fall, maybe on the way back, I could, make that detour to the west. By the way, I have so much mail today. I have one from Gustavo, and he says, hello, Robert, I'm planning to buy a travel trailer Passport 175BH and an SUV to tow it. I don't want a truck. I see you also do that. What SUV do you recommend? What SUV do you use? It does sufficient power to tow in mountain terrain, and this is one of those instances in which I tell you guys, do as I say and don't do as I do. You know, my SUV is a little bit underpowered for the trailer that I have, and the trailer that I have is 3,000, a little under 3,000 dry, and my SUV is 3,500 pounds tow capacity. So I'm right there at the limit. I usually try to travel with the least amount of water possible, because water is the heaviest stuff that you will carry. But I was looking into this RV that you are mentioning, Gustavo, and no, that's not the page that I wanted to see. Here we have it, and it's a Keystone Passport Ultralight. The 175BH has a dry weight of 3160. That means that once you load, that thing is going to be almost 4,000 pounds. And I would get an SUV capable at least of towing 5,000 pounds. So you have some room to spare there, especially if you want to tackle some mountains. Because I've done it, but it's really taxing on my tow vehicle. And I end up going 35 miles per hour, you know, uphill, when it's one of those, like, long, high, 6% grades, like Mount Eagle Mountain, when you going from Chattanooga to Nashville. That's one that is really taxing on the vehicle. And I recently did driving north from Phoenix as you're approaching Flagstaff, Arizona. It's one of those, like, you're going up like for 10 miles at 6% grade. And I was, I'm sorry for the guys who had to pass me, but I was going 35 miles an hour, you know, chugging along there. And then when you're going downhill, it is a must that you downshift. About an SUV, I did a little bit of a research. The larger engine Ford Explorer is capable of towing 5,000 pounds. And there is the Expedition, the Ford Expedition. The larger engine one can tow up to 6,000 pounds, and that's the one that I would recommend if you want to go the SUV route. You don't want to skimp on power, especially if you want to do mountains, and if you want to do boondocking, you want to have your freshwater tank relatively full. So that's my advice. Eventually, I want to, when old Kia dies, I'm going to have to change my logo and everything, but eventually I want to get a slightly stronger tow vehicle, or I'll go into a motorized. We'll see. That's a couple of years still in the works. And I have one last email from Louis and Liz from Homestead, Florida. My girlfriend and I watch your YouTube channel and enjoy the information you put out. For us, a travel trailer weekend, he says worries, but it's warriors, I guess. Hurricane Irma put me over the edge last year, and we ran north and found out quick that tents are no good for us the older bunch. Plus, I always enjoyed the RV world. So October 2017, I went to North Carolina and bought a 2018 23-foot Keystone Passport 175BH, and love it. We try to go out as much as we can and enjoy it life to the fullest. Thanks for what you do. It's awesome, and hope that we see you on the road someday. Hope to see you on the road someday. You're right down there in Homestead. And actually, I'm thinking of going down to Homestead in a couple of weeks too. You know, it's like right there, right next to the Florida Keys. So I could, it's like, what, 20 minutes away from Key Largo. And I've always wanted to go to this biker's bar called Alabama Jack's, which is right by the entrance to the Florida Keys. And we might do that the next time we go to Homestead. But by the way, congratulations on your new travel trailer. Now I want to talk about the destination of the week today. And as I hinted at the beginning of the podcast, this past weekend we spent the weekend in Bahia Honda State Park in the Florida Keys. And this is pretty much right after the 7 Mile Bridge, you know, after Marathon. And you know, at the beginning of the Lower Keys. And this is a beautiful park in that location. Very hard to get in. And it's what is supposed to be the only real beach in the Florida Keys, though the real good, the one good beach in the Keys. But the nice beach was closed because of Hurricane Irma. The park is still I would say 80% of the park still off limits. You know, they have the camping area. The good thing is that everything is new. You know, your pedestal, your you know, your all your hookups are brand new, and your picnic tables, everything is brand new. So it's very nice. They replaced everything after the hurricane. The hurricane really hit Bahia Honda really, really bad. Especially, you know, the Keys have the Atlantic side and they have the Bay side. The Atlantic side got pretty much destroyed, and that beach is closed. There's another small beach on the Bay side called Calusa Beach, but it's not that great. A lot of seaweeds. But anyways, the water was a little cold anyway, so I didn't do much of the beach. I did a little bit of snorkeling, saw some crabs. I don't know if the camera caught it. I haven't edited that video yet. But overall, we had a great time. We went down to the No Name pub in Big Pine Key and had some pizza and some beer. And there's also we went also to this other place a little further south in the is it Summerland Key? That it's a brand new place called Tonio's. I don't really recommend it. I mean, the food, it was expensive and the food was meh. It wasn't like the greatest tasting fish I've ever had. They had good beer selection though. And I also went to this place called the Blue Hole, which is this fresh water, like a little lake, and they have gators and there are anhingas and all kinds of wildlife. It wasn't all that great, but it was good. Of course, we explored Big Pine Key, and they have the key deer over there, which is an endangered species. I didn't see a single key deer. I hope they haven't gone extinct, because, yeah, that was... I didn't see any. And I also went on this peninsula on the south. It's called the Coupon Aquatic Preserve. And very nice views. I passed by a bed and breakfast that we stayed at about 5-6 years ago called the Barnacle. Very nice. And it looks like the area has recuperated already from Hurricane Irma pretty well. By the way, I flew the drone a lot in the Florida Keys, and especially at this park, which is on the... Because in Bahia Honda, you cannot fly the drone. It's a state park. They had a big sign, you know, no drone, like they have in so many places nowadays. But if you go to the other side of the old Bahia Honda bridge in Summerland Key, I didn't see any signs, and I checked my map, and there were no warnings, so I flew the drone. I did a beautiful flight of the drone on that old Bahia Honda bridge that you're going to see in a couple of weeks here in my YouTube channel, Traveling Roberts, so make sure to check that out. By the way, a lot of places in the Lower Keys are still closed or semi-closed, semi-open in the aftermath of Hurricane Irma. They still haven't recuperated yet. Like Veterans Memorial Park, for example, which is right at the western end of the 7 Mile Bridge, is not open yet. And this trip, we didn't venture down into Key West or north into Marathon. We just stayed in the area. It was more of a relaxing kind of weekend. Now, in the news, and I want to have a little bit of a news section, although... someone sent me an email saying that Oregon has banned RV parking in all the Walmarts, but I haven't been able to corroborate this, anywhere on the internet. So if anybody knows anything about that, send me an email, robert@travelingrobert.com, and we'll comment about it on the next episode. It's like when last month they banned RVs from overnight parking in Los Angeles. And now everybody started saying, no, now you cannot overnight anywhere in California. So it's sometimes people exaggerate the news. So I don't want to, I want to know for sure if Oregon has banned RV parking. I know in the West Coast, especially, there's a lot of quote unquote homeless people that live in their RVs full time. And the problem with some of these people is that they leave trash everywhere, and that is a problem. If you're living full time in your RV, I think people need to be considerate and at least take their trash to a refuse place. You know, so don't just leave trash everywhere. I mean, you guys should see Slab City. It's It's very sad, actually. It's very sad because the next town is just like 5 miles away, you know, Nyland. You could take your trash to Nyland and keep your home relatively clean. But no. Now the tip of the week. And I'm sorry, I have a little bit of a cold. So if you guys hear my voice a little different, that's what it is. And I think it is time to de-winterize your RVs, everybody. Everybody's spring is here. First day of spring was yesterday, right? Or the day before. So I came across this a very nice article by Mark Polk, and he published it in the RV Trader website. And I'm going to put a link in the show notes for you guys. He goes step by step what to do, you know, with the water system, how to remove the antifreeze from all the plumbing, and then how you sanitize your RV water systems so they are safe to use. Basically, if you use a non-toxic antifreeze, you know, And you didn't bypass the water heater. You have to make sure that, you know, that you get that antifreeze out of everywhere, all your water systems. And then, you know, you're supposed to put a little bit of chlorine in your water lines and to sanitize. Actually, when I bought Minitini, they sold me this sanitizing kit that comes with 2 bottles. So, you know, sucker, I spent the money on that. It might be better than using chlorine. I'm not certain, but anyways, about winterizing, I hope I never have to winterize a Minitini, especially since I live in South Florida. I'm never gonna have to do it down here. So, and if I full time, I intend to do the snowbird thing and go north and south, following the weather. Anyways, in this article, he also talks about the RV batteries, you know, RV appliances, what to do with everything, with the tires. If you are motorized, the engine and the generator and, this, you know, all the safety items. Everything that you're supposed to do after having your RV stored for the winter. I'm going to put a link to that article. It seems very complete. And it is a very, it's a long URL, but it's at rvtrader.com. If you want to look for it, it's an article by Mark Polk, which, as you know, he's the RV 101 guy. And he's like the authority when it comes to you know, everything RV maintenance and how to and all that good stuff. Anyways, that's all I have for you today. You know, I've been doing this funny Nomad News segment, but I think I'm going to discontinue it in the meantime, because there's really not a whole lot going on gossip-wise in the RV world. In the nomad world, in all the nomadic YouTubers, they keep multiplying. It's hard to keep up already with so many people who have YouTube channels and are on the road. So until the next time, that's all for today. I'm going to leave you with a segment of my tune called the San Francisco Suite. I originally used for my footage of Chinatown in San Francisco, but I also used it recently here for my latest video that you are hopefully going to watch on Sunday morning about dystopian California, in which I go to the Imperial Sand Dunes, then of course Slab City and the Salton Sea, and eventually I end up in the nicer areas of California, you know, the Coachella Valley, where I stayed for a couple of nights. But I hope you enjoyed that video. And until next week, thank you so much for listening. And see you on the road, living the RV dream and loving the RV lifestyle.